Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Johnny Day. I'll be the moderator for this session. Welcome.
Thank you, Johnny.
Well, thank you. You're so kind. I'm glad I could give you all these. I'm not sure what these stethoscopes are or the shots of tequila in the shots, but Robert puts on a fun show. So I would like to ask Bishop Jeff to say our conference prayer. It is on page 3 or it is in your app, and I will give Bishop the microphone.
Together, let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities, and may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. Let me introduce to you Robert Watts. Robert is the Director of Development in the Diocese of Lexington, Kentucky. He has had just an enormous success in his annual appeal, and I think he's got some great ideas for you today. Please make welcome Robert. The doctor's in the house.
Thank you, Johnny, and thank each of you. And if you're just walking in, find a seat up front or else you're going to miss some of the goodies that are waiting in your chair. As Johnny mentioned, I am Robert Watts. I'm with the Diocese of Lexington. I'm the fundraising doctor, and today we're going to have surgery together, and we have an interesting patient and a case study to go through. So you have your stethoscopes, so enjoy. And this presentation is unique in the sense that it is designed with about 10 fundraising triggers, things that you can take away that are low cost, no cost, that are going to help your annual appeal, whether you are already meeting goal and need to step to the next level, or if you're, like the sign says, on life support and we need to triage you out of that current condition. The idea is not to take all 10 back. The idea is to take 2 or 3 that you can do in the next couple months that will have an immediate impact. Everything today is about an immediate impact. And as we go through the patient's case history, you'll see that we were able to have an immediate impact in Lexington and just how we did that. Sometimes when you go to conferences, you get good theory, but not necessarily great practice. We want you to have both because fundraising is 50% art and 50% science. And so we're going to work on both today. So if you took the poll, I appreciate it. Just an interesting thing about your fellow surgeons. We're split almost 50-50. We have people in the room who are 5 years or less working on appeals and people who are 5 years or more. So I thought that was interesting. You know, if you think to an operating theater, there's never a doctor in the room alone, is there? There's always a team of surgeons, nurses, and other professionals in the operating suite. Fundraising's a lot like that. You have to have a good team. Even if you're in a small shop, you can definitely still surround yourself with a great team. You just have to get a little more creative. So in Lexington, 3 years ago when I arrived, I was the team, and we have grown now. And in the back of the room, Sarah Spellman is our development coordinator. And then Emma Jones is handling things back home because we are literally kicking off our appeal next weekend. So I have some great early results for you. But that's not the extent of the team. We have more folks on board as well, and I'd like for you to meet them too. So up here to my left, your right, and he's not going to want to stand up, but he's going to do it anyway because the doctor ordered it, is Mr. Matt Adams from OSV. And our Sunday visitor is our appeal partner. I've worked with them for 6 years at 3 different dioceses, and I find them to be very affordable and very visionary in their sense that here's what we'd like to do. Have you seen it other places in the country, and do you think it would work here? So if you're not currently working with a partner, you might consider OSV. This guy over here, this is Johnny Day. And Johnny Day is with a company called Greater Mission. And Greater Mission works with the Diocese of Lexington in a couple key areas. One is our appeal work in the sense of our capital campaigns. And the Diocese of Lexington is carrying some debt. And we declared war on debt last year, specifically parish debt. And we identified six parishes. And Johnny came in and took three parishes that have been carrying a debt of anywhere from $2 million to $6 million for the last decade. And he went in and eliminated it in 5 months. And so this next year, we're going to attack the other three together. And so these partnerships have been able to extend our reach and further our growth. And so we'll talk more about that. But the interesting thing about Johnny's company as well is they came in and did a capacity study. And they didn't just look at our donors. That was one thing. They also looked at our structure, because I wanted to make sure that as we grew, that we were doing things the right way, that we were having a good foundation to grow on. You wouldn't choose a surgeon without asking them about their background, so I want to share a little bit about mine so you'll know about the doctor of fundraising that you've chose to spend the next 45 minutes with. I'm originally from Florida. I mentioned that I've worked in a couple dioceses, the Diocese of Raleigh and also the Archdiocese of Portland. I came to the Diocese of Lexington because I wanted to work with Bishop John Stowe, who has a reputation for boots on the ground ministry, and that's really what my heart was seeking. I have about 34 years of fundraising experience. As the coach says, I have my CFRE. I'm a current candidate for my ACFRE, which takes about another 6 months because it's about an 18-month process. When I get the ACFRE, I'll be one of about 420 in the U.S. and Canada. So, raised about $340 million personally, and that's mostly for the fight against breast cancer and prostate cancer before I began my church career about 6.5 years ago. So that's who I am, and I look forward to learning more about who you are as well. One thing I already know about most of you is you're not exactly pleased with where you are percent participation-wise. Most of you felt like you could still do better, that there was room to grow. And that's really where we found ourselves 3 years ago in the Diocese of Lexington. We had a campaign that had been going for about 14 years, and for literally 11 of those 14 years, it never had a variance of more than $25,000. It was up 25, it was down 25, but it always hovered right around the same dollar amount. And in my interview, they asked, what things would you do to change that? I think I kind of scared them a little bit because I gave them four or five things, and they were pretty candid that they'd never tried any of those things. And so when we began to proceed forward, again, building our team, we knew that we couldn't do it as staff, that we had to have the presbyterate involved and really become partners with them. One of the things the presbyterate was very candid about was, we don't want to do the appeal. Okay, tell me why. We're exhausted. It runs for 1 year, we get a 2-week break, and we start again. So by the time we wrap up, we go on vacation, we come back, we start again. I looked at the analysis that I had done, and they had raised 85% of their money in the first 6 months. But they bore it out another additional 6 months just to try to get 15% more, which made almost no difference in ministry. But it did exhausted everybody. It exhausted the donors, created donor fatigue. So there was a big win right up front when we came back with data and said, we're only going to do this for 6 months, and whatever we get, we get. Okay, so let's jump in, and we will. See, I knew you gave me one that didn't work.
Hold on. Nope, I clicked off of it. I had the video queued up here. So
that's
there
all.
There you go. Are you good?
Thank you.
Are you good? Really good?
There you go. Okay. Very cool. Thank you. Okay. So the first thing we do in Lexington is we never talk about stewardship and development from a money perspective. In fact, we do the opposite. We talk from a participation standpoint. Everything we do is participation driven. But when we actually look at stewardship, we lead with prayer. We talk about volunteer engagement. And we talk about financial support, because we know if people are praying and if they're engaged in their parish, they will be more generous. We don't have to ask them to be more generous. Tell you a quick story about Sylvia. Sylvia was a hairstylist, and on one of my appointments with the pastor, like to go visit 5 parishioners with you. Great. Here's a list of the most wealthy ones. We don't want to see the most wealthy ones. Okay. So we get some others out. We go to visit Sylvia. She's a hairstylist at Great Clips. First thing she says is, "Father, I don't have any more money." "Well, I'm not here." He handled it extremely well. He said, "I'm not here for your money, Sylvia. I'm here to talk about you sharing some of your other gifts with the parish." "I don't have any gifts, Father. I cut hair for a living." Hurt my heart, but it also let us know what people think when they think about the gifts that they've been blessed with and how we have to do a better job of educating them about that everything they have, positive and negative, is a gift from God. And once we do that, they begin to see that they have so many gifts to share. And so he said, I begged to differ with you, Sylvia. You cut my hair, and I get a lot of compliments about it." Again, great rebuttal. So then he said, "I want to speak with you about a haircutting ministry. I want you to come to the parish twice a month on your day off and cut hair, but instead of charging the people, when you're done, I want you to give them a mass schedule and ask them to join us for mass." He said, "Parishioners aren't going to come. It's going to be people from the community, and we're going to advertise it." She glowed. She agreed to come, and on the first day off that she came, she brought 3 other stylists with her. She was so happy to be asked. That haircutting ministry is now 9 months old, and this was not our intent, but when we looked back and looked in month number 5, Sylvia's tithing or contribution through the offertory was double what it had been before the haircutting ministry started. That education and her being more engaged in the parish led her to understand that there's help that's needed here and there's more that I can do. And I'm not just somebody who comes here on Sunday and then participates in the Catholic Indy 500 to get out of the parking lot when it's over. I'm somebody who's a stakeholder. And I have an investment in this place, and this is partly my place, and how can I better it? And so that comes from that volunteer engagement, which leads to that financial support. We have plenty of room. If y'all are checking us out, you can stay there in case you want to slip out. But if you want to stay, feel free to come up and sit. There's some goodies in the chairs. Okay. Diocese of Lexington appeal, about $1 million. I know some of you have more money than that. But here's the thing. It had been $1 million for 14 years. If we would have had measured growth, we'd have been a $3 million campaign by now easily. I want to give you a little bit. This is the patient history part of our discussion. These are our share backs. We are too heavily in the share back business, okay? You don't need 4 share backs. We had 3, and I added another one this year. So, but I did it in a different way, which I want to share with you because that's going to help you, I think. But again, participation. So these next couple slides are just geared at a few little scenarios that we've tweaked that have helped us. So our share backs, when I arrived, you got 10% from meeting your goal. You got 50% of everything that you raised above your goal, and we added 5% when you met your participation goal. We're not a mandatory campaign. We're a voluntary campaign. We do ask that you do an MPU. Everybody know what an MPU is? Okay. The first year, we only had 11 people who were doing an MPU that we could document out of 59 parishes. The second year, after some of the other steps you'll see, we had 52 of 59 who did an MPU. This year, we added a second participation goal, but we also tweaked the first goal because some of these sharebacks are going to phase out. The bishop and I are on the same page that meeting your goal, your rebate is really the check that you get every other week for doing your job, okay? Meeting your goal is your job. We want to celebrate it. But it's not necessarily something to give an extra attaboy for, really, because that's why you're here, to grow God's kingdom and develop more ministry. So the first rebate went from 10% of your goal down to 5%. We left the 50-50 share for this year. It's going to be lowered next year. We kept the participation goal, and then based on an incentive we saw at another diocese in Texas, we're offering for 1 year and 1 year only. We're going to give you a list of everyone in the parish who has never donated to the appeal, and if you are able to get them to donate this year to the appeal, we're going to give the parish half of whatever that person donates. We feel that's good for us because you'll see in a minute, we have a track record of once people donate, they hear our story, they become stakeholders. They really don't leave the appeal. We have very little attrition out of the campaign. Our problem is getting them in the campaign because we have not been good storytellers. And so we've added that, but it's for 1 year only. So parishes who want to participate in that need to get busy. The other thing we mentioned to the parishes, and this is something you may want to consider, if you're a parish right now, I don't know anybody that's going to do a campaign for you for free. The diocese does. We provide all the literature. We print everything. We ship everything. We take care of the postage. All you have to do is make sure everybody in the parish participates. And you pay for nothing, and you get this great overage. So we've also tried to market it by that. But those are the four rebates that we're working with. 10 feet away. We're not going to have a good outcome with this patient. Okay. So far, we've done two triggers. Here's the third. We do not run a pledge campaign. We don't even use the word pledge in Lexington. That's why we got a big ol' X. We use commitment. We are a commitment campaign. Why is that? Pledge campaigns are 1970. Okay? That screams 1970. If you want to show that you're not up on your game, run a pledge campaign. Also, people don't play a pledge. If that pledge is due and the power bill's due, the power bill's getting paid, the pledge isn't. Out of this whole campaign that has this year 7,000 donors, we only had 4.5% attrition that we didn't collect on. Okay, the national average is much higher. The other thing, though, is I made a pledge. I'll help you. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 months, but I'm going to try to help you. I made a commitment. I signed my name. I said I would do this. I'm committed. The other thing we do is no one goes past 2 months with us. We do not mail anything. We don't have coupons. So if you make a commitment, there is a way for you to slide it in on us, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But for the most part, everything is online. So we will say to you, we want you to make a commitment. We have in Pew Sunday. But if you want to make, and we get a little of this, especially the people that have been around a little, well, I want to make a pledge. We don't actually have pledges. We're a commitment campaign. But if you'd like to make a multi-month commitment, you go online to our website. We have a QR code. We have the website address. You make it on there. Well, I want to make it for a year. Strategically, we don't allow them to make it for a year. We actually only allow them to make it for the time of the appeal. That doesn't have to be the case in every diocese. We're doing it because we have other appeals, and we don't want people to say, well, I'm not going to give to that because I already give 12 months a year to the DAA. That's a little bit unique to Lexington. But you can make a multiple month commitment, and people do that. All right, another trigger. Be sure to write this down. We don't ask anybody for anything, okay? That's right up there with the pledge thing. We invite. We invite often, but we never ask. And the reason behind that is, what happens when you ask? Johnny, will you support the DAA? There's only two answers, yes or no. And usually they happen like that. Yes, I will, or no, I won't. If we invite, you may get a yes, but you'll also get you know, I can't right now. My wife Dawn's been sick. Our child had to move back home with us because he lost his job. It's just not really a good time, but I'm willing to revisit the subject in 3 months. Well, what has he done? Immediately he's identified a prayer request, and we can do that right then in the parking lot. The second thing he's done is he's let me know that he supports the appeal. It's just not the best time. So I don't leave that interchange wondering, gosh, what's up with him that he can't get behind this great program? I know he can. There's just extenuating circumstances. He's also left the door open for me to come back in 2 or 3 months and see how things are going. And really, that's the Christian thing to do. When somebody misses a payment, we don't call and say, you missed last month's commitment. We call and say, we were wanting to check in with you. Do you have any prayer requests? We know that you made a commitment to the DAA. We couldn't help but notice that last month we didn't receive the commitment. Is there something going on? We have gotten some very interesting responses, but the one thing that has happened beyond everything else is we've built relationships with people. My husband lost his job. Our barn burned down. This happened. Our child quit college, but we lost all the tuition for that semester. Things like that. But we invite, and we invite often. The other reason why we invite often is maybe it's just not their thing. You know, we can do really well at explaining things to people, but maybe it's just not their thing. But maybe this other thing is their thing. And that's why, and I heard this 3 years ago at this very conference when Jim Kelly mentioned, we're mailing stuff every month, you know, because we don't know that you're going to like what goes out in November, but you may love what goes out in December. We don't know. So we're going to invite you. There's been no indication that running multiple appeals has hurt any single appeal. When I went to Lexington, they had no money to pay the tuition. I said, well, when is it due? That was August. It was due in September. Three seminarians, $50,000 apiece. It's like, we don't have $150,000. How did you get in like this? We did a little mini appeal, and we've started running 3 a year. We built a whole network of people that want to support. And I went back and cross-referenced to see how many supported the appeal versus how many didn't, so we could kind of get to know those donors. But when you invite, you get to the good data, and you get to know that person. And you get to understand more about what they like about it and what they don't. You're trying to make the doctor look bad. All right. Along those lines, one of the biggest things that was wrong in Lexington was the storytelling was off. Good preachers don't make good storytellers. You thought it might, could, but it doesn't always. So the first year, I wanted to bring all the presbyterate in for a DAA training. Okay, this is something we did in our other dioceses, and it really worked. Bishop said, they don't need that. They know how to do that. The result was we got 11 MPU services out of 59, and that was it. When we talk about authentic storytelling, it has to be your story. Your story isn't the same as mine. Everyone has a DAA story, though. So what's yours? This is a slide from when we did our training this year, and this is my story. If you run a DAA campaign or appeal campaign, and you talk about power bill assistance, or you talk about food pantries, you talk about tuition assistance, you talk about priest retirement or seminary and education, you're going to reach me, Robert Watts. I'm going to donate. If you talk about some of the other many wonderful ministries, you're not going to reach me because those are not my things. Why are these my things? We were a military family. On an enlisted Navy man's salary, there was never enough food by the end of the month. So we had to go to the church as a child, and I remember what it was like to go to the food pantry. Tuition assistance. Neither my sister nor I were doing well in public school. But my dad was too proud to take the tuition assistance, so he took it for her and not me and said it was one kid per family, and when she graduated from 8th grade, I could then go in the 5th grade. Do you know what happens between the first grade and the fifth grade? Relationships are formed, bonded. I didn't know how to write in cursive. I didn't know what a paragraph was. All this stuff that could have been avoided had he just taken the tuition assistance. When I did get there, I wanted to play basketball. I'm built for football. I'm not built for basketball. My brother played for the Atlanta Falcons. Why do you want to play basketball? Let me help you. No, I want to play basketball. I didn't make the team. But the pastor, who was a Redemptorist priest, took me under his wing, and he said, do you really want to play basketball? Yes, I do, Father. Great. Then be here tomorrow at 6 a.m., and be here every single day at 6 a.m., and I will run 3 miles with you. And we did that. And the next year, I tried out again. I had the speed. Didn't make it. One more player could have been picked. It would have been me. I came up that far, but I wasn't quite there. Do you know what that priest did? His name is Father Ed. Went down to City Hall and filed the paperwork to start a police athletic team because he said the only thing that was going to make me a better player now was playing time, that I really was fast enough in his opinion. So he filed the paperwork and built the whole team and coached it just so I could have playing time. He's 86 now. He lives in a retirement home for his order in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. So if you send me something about priest retirement, I'm going to think of Father Ed, and I'm going to contribute. This is why we have to know our people, and this is why we have to know that it isn't one size fits all. And that's why we have to invite and invite often. This is just our A to Z box. I hope that there's no misspellings in here, but if there is, you reach inside the box and you grab whatever you let or need and you just put it in the word that's misspelled, okay? All right. These are our goals. For our department, we help parishes achieve their goal. We coach them through the MPU efforts. The results in the first 2 years have been great, and we support them through kickoff meetings. Okay. Thanks. Here's the stats. 59 parishes and missions. Half the parishes have to be subsidized by the diocese to remain open because of their small size. 50 counties, 40 of which are located in Appalachia. We have 39,000 Catholics, which is 3% of the population. It's 3% in the metro area. When you go out into the other 40 counties, it drops to 1%. We have 12,600 Catholic families in the database. Thanks. Okay, thank you.
All right, now
you put it upside down.
I there you go.
Okay, so first year, we'll run through this pretty quickly because I want to keep us on track. $1 million campaign, 3,200 donors, 24% participation. Stagnant for more than 10 years. Next year, $250,000 increase, extra 1,600 donors from 24 to 37%. This year we just finished, $1.6 million, so another $200,000. Look at the jump from 4,700 to 5,700 donors in 46% of the diocese. Our campaign is called One in Christ. I used to be a fan of changing the name every year. We don't change the name. We left it One in Christ because we truly believe in order to be successful as our diocese, we have to be one in Christ. And the bishop was very specific. We can't be one in Christ if only 24% of the people support the appeal. How do we stand up and say that? And so even this year, he said, I am so pleased that we're now one of the most heavily penetrated diocesan appeals in the country. But guys, as he was talking to the Pastorate, 46% means half as many still don't as do. So I want to celebrate you for everything you've done in 2 years from moving from 24 to 46%. But if we believe and if we move forward and if we really have a strong MPU experience, we can do better than this, and we must because we have those parishes that can't support themselves. If you need a little visual, one of our churches only has 27 parishioners. You'd wonder, why would we keep that open? We keep it open because every day it feeds 300 people who are hungry for lunch. If we weren't in that town, those people wouldn't eat. That's where you're dealing. One parish I go to, I have to carry a box of dog bones in the car. I said, why I got to carry these dog bones? Because when you arrive, if you don't have the dog bones to throw in the opposite direction, the pack will overwhelm you. I thought they were kidding. I opened the door, 26 dogs, because the people are so destitute, they can't care for their pets. So they just turn them out loose in the street. And that's where we're ministering and being Jesus to the world. So we do need to continue to do better, but so far our journey's pretty good. I mentioned that our campaign is coming up. Announcement weekend was yesterday. Next weekend is in Pew weekend. We mail at the beginning of September. I got the stats before we came in here because I wanted to give you the latest and greatest. Already 1,200 donors. Those 1,200 donors have already raised $450,000. We haven't even had MPU weekend, and we're already a fourth of the way to goal. So I think that we're going to have a success. It's still early, but we really want to be a $3 million campaign, and that's where we're headed. So here's some of the things that we've done to help ourselves. We've rebranded the materials. We've had fresher designs, more active photos, more vibrant use of color. One of the things the bishop has challenged me on is, I don't want any stagnant stuff. I don't want any stationary stuff. I want movement. I want to see trees blow, and I want to see animals. I want to see people doing things. Don't have a picture of just a crucifix alone or a monstrance. Make sure that you have things going in. And number one, a pet peeve of his, which I agree with, it's made it harder, but I agree with it, is no stock photos of any kind. So this is an actual farm. Okay. What's changed to make all this happen? The database has been through major cleanup. We ran a contest for the 59 parishes. They turn in their roster. We clean it up. They win a prize if they get it in before a certain point. We used the Rome report. This is something that if you haven't used, this would be one of those fundraising triggers for you to write down. Every year, your chancellor is sending in all of the deceased funerals that happened in your diocese. You can get a copy of that, compare it against your database, and you'd be amazed. I eliminated 1,000 donors the first year I got there that we had been burying from our churches, but nobody had been turning in deletions. It's a great way to find. It saves us money. I don't care. What bothered me was, if you've ever lost someone you've loved, all those people are getting a letter to somebody and they're having to start the grieving process all over again. And that's not what church is for. So the other thing is, we made mandatory fields. So now you can't even save the record if you don't complete the mandatory field. So the staff can't really bypass it and just put in the phone number, but not the email address and that type of thing. We did purchase some emails and phone numbers before we actually put them in the database. We emailed them. We purchased 3,600 email addresses. 10 were bad. So I actually felt pretty good about it. We did use those. The other thing is, we used the Social Security Death Index. So if anybody is getting Social Security check and they pass away, your CRM can cleanse through that to see, because if they're in that death index, they're not alive, they shouldn't be in your database. Okay. There we go. So in the mailing, this was interesting because we had to really see what worked for our folks. We were doing 3 mailings a year. We switched to 4. This past year, we did 6. Again, we're trying to learn the people. The one thing I wanted to impress on all of us, that we could share this knowledge about our patients, is that all of our patients are unique, okay? But not one of them is different. And I want you to remember that, because our diocese is different. We're 36% Polish. That makes you unique. That doesn't make you different. These practices and the ones that you're learning at this conference, they work everywhere. That's the good thing for all of us. So celebrate the uniqueness, plan to the uniqueness, but don't get in that, well, not in my diocese, that won't work. Yes, it will. That slows you down, that kind of thinking. This year we've figured out that 4 is the right for us, so we mail in September 1st, arrives in the homes. September 15th is announcement weekend. Hey, this great thing is coming. If you've already gotten your thing, send it back. September 21st is MPU weekend. If you haven't sent it back, we're going to fill it out now together. The priests come down off the altar. They sit on either on the altar steps or they sit in the first pew. They fill it out. They fill one out at every single Mass. The smart ones only mail me one. One guy mailed me 7. Okay. Then he called him and said, oh, don't put all 7 in. Like, we're not going to put all 7 in. But we do that, and then we continue. And then around Thanksgiving, we mail the second one, because that week between Thanksgiving and the 1st of December is the most philanthropic year of time of the year. So we mail then. And then around January 25th, the third one arrives in homes. And then March 1st, it arrives. And then we're done. But 80%, 85% of our parishes, we now have escalated to where they'll be done at the end of November. So they're not even taking 6 months anymore. They're knocking it out in 90 days. And then the last of the stragglers will take another 3 months and be done by the end of March. At that time, we're done, and that's it. Anybody who's on a multi-year plan, or they didn't, they paid more money, multi-year, multi-month, their money goes to the next year's campaign, even if it comes in. Once the appeal ends, it goes to the next year's appeal. Okay. The storytelling. This really is challenging, and I encourage you to spend some time on it, because we asked the presbyter, why do we got to have the DAA? Well, because it helps people. Okay. That gets you maybe a dollar. You need to say, who does it help? How does it help them? For how long does it help them? Can you tell me more than one way that it helps them? Because if you don't tell me about tuition assistance, buying groceries, or priest retirement, you're not going to hit me. So think of those. The other thing we asked them is, we really do this a lot. What is your DAA story? Because automatically we paid for your seminary. So you personally have benefited. And for a lot of our guys, their parents didn't have the money. Some did, but most didn't. So they would not have been able to go. And if they stand up there and say that, then that's significant to the people. And now we're working on, what can we do beyond that? Why do you like it beyond that? Okay. Floor signs. They're up here, and you should come look at these. These 12 folks happen to be pastors and parish life directors who would not be in their parishes if we did not have our campaign. So I'm not only going to tell you that we support these parishes, I'm going to tell you that this is Father Ronald, and his parish would not have a priest if we didn't have the DAA, because they can't raise enough money to support themselves. The DAA pays for that. What they would have is a sacramental minister who would blow into town once a week or once every other week, and they would probably have a communion service the rest of the time. And then we do exercises like we ask people to close their eyes, and we say, you know, think about your priest last Sunday on the altar. Think about what he looked like. Think about what the service was about. Now imagine that he wasn't there, because that's the threat that these 12 parishes have every single year if we don't have a successful DAA. That drills down. That makes it come alive. That makes it tangible for people. So we got these signs, and this is kind of humorous. We couldn't afford to put them in every parish, so we only put them in 15 last year. I went out, was a little embarrassed, because I went in, they're right beside the altar. And I said, Father, why are they right beside the altar? Well, we don't have a narthex, and there just wasn't any place to put them, and I know I want to meet my goal, and I just thought that was the place to do it. So I don't think they really need to be right by the pulpit. Yeah, they look good there. Okay. So this year, we raised a little more money. We can afford to do a little bit more. would put them in 35 of the 59 parishes. Once you buy the stand, you never have to buy the stand again, so we just replace the sign. But this is them. They have the QR codes on them. This happens to be last year's. Okay. That's all right. There you go. I wanted you to see this. This is Development Day. It happens every August, the first week in August. This is us. Father Danny is wearing his train engineer hat. Most of them are all wearing bandanas like a locomotive conductor and a train engineer hat because we theme it. This year we did the book, or last year we did the book 2012, 211 degrees, and the whole principle is water is hot at 211 degrees, it boils at 212. We want you to go one extra degree for the DAA. Hot water does nothing. Boiling water produces steam. Steam can power a locomotive. The other thing that I'm very appreciative of is our bishop is at these. He doesn't pop in and say hello. He sits for the entire 5 hours and has lunch with them. We do two of these, one on the east side of the diocese and one on the west side of the diocese. This year, we were setting sail for greater heights. It was all a sailing cruise thing. So when they came in the room, they took their welcome aboard pictures, had their hats on, had their pool noodles. You'll see the pictures in a minute. It's great. But our commitments, our basic tenets are, and next weekend I will go to 13 masses at about 8 different churches, and I will sit there and I will watch the MPs. And you'll think, well, you don't trust them to do it. Oh, I trust them to do it. But what I have to do is part of my job is not to trust them to do it, is to coach them through it. And I can't coach them if I don't see them. So I want to see the nonverbal behavior. I want to see how they interact with the people. I want to see how the messaging comes across. You know, it's really about believing. If they knew what I knew the day I walked in, they probably wouldn't have believed they could have gotten to 30%, let alone 46. But I knew they could do it. I knew it was going to be hard. But that's the thing. When you believe and you trust in the Holy Spirit, it can happen. So you have to believe. The synergy is contagious. This year our book was Good to Great by Jim Collins. We gave them the book. We gave them the cliff notes. We said, if you don't want to read the book, here's the shortcut. It's about 30 pages. We discussed it. We talked about good is only good enough if great is not possible. In this appeal, great is possible. The difference between us and a corporation, for-profit one, is that lives hang in the balance for us. If we don't raise this money, children will not eat and people will be unhoused. So there is a lot riding on all of us to get this done together. Okay. I'm just going to say that participation matters. Every email that comes out from me has that on it because we tell them and we mean it. Well, what, talk to me about my financial goal. Have you met your participation goal yet? No. Well, we don't care about the financial goal. Meet the participation goal. The rest will happen. Well, how will it happen? We go on. We go through it. But we use this phrase because this is true, and we want them to understand this. So this is this year's. This is the onboarding station where they came aboard the cruise ship. This is the rector at our cathedral and his two associates. And I don't think he's in the room, but he's here at this conference. That's their stewardship director. This is our vicar general. Got to have the buy-in. I don't say don't do it if you don't have the buy-in, because once you create the synergy and the enthusiasm, you'll get the buy-in. But it helps that they're around and they do this, and they allow me to just kind of cut up and make this happen. If you're not delivering your kits, which we don't, we mail them to the parishes, then we mail them with snacks. And we tell them, when your kit arrives, read it. Oh, we don't read it. The secretary puts it away and we get it out on NPU day. Well, that doesn't help me. So I didn't tell them what was coming, but I told them it was coming with extra things this year and it was edible. That was 2 years ago and we changed it up. And the mailhouse sends it out with snacks. Sometimes it sends it out with a $5 gift card to a coffee house. They can't wait. And the priest jumps over everybody else to get to it. So So sending that with snacks helps. This is our pledge card. Do you know how I'm doing on time?
You got 5 minutes.
Great. This is, okay. This is our pledge card. This is important because it's nice to have a good brochure, but the pledge card is where the magic happens. This is the bulk one, but the thing I wanted you to know, and I think that I got confused on this 2 years ago, you don't have to have a fancy CRM. I have the worst one, okay? You don't have to have good data in the sense that you want to pull 15 different reports, but segmentation is key, okay? Last year, we put a box up here, and in there, we put the amount of their last gift, and it says, your last gift was, and we printed it in there. It was amazing how people on their own upgraded themselves. If there wasn't any gift, then we put, please participate. 1,600 people who had never participated sent something in on those please participate cards, never given to the appeal. This year, we have the box again, same format. But I thought, why are we putting $1,000 in the box and then starting with these generic amounts? So now when you get your card from us, it's always a higher amount than what you gave last year. And it's divided into 25% increase, 55% increase, and 75% increase. I didn't hire a company. I didn't ask anybody to analyze my data. We got an Excel spreadsheet, and the assistant and I had it done in 90 minutes. Didn't cost us anything. But here's the reward. Psychologically, and there's testing to prove this nationally, nobody will ever pick the lowest amount on the left. And statistically, more people than not will pick the middle amount. So those that are going to increase for me this year are going to increase by 50%. So remember I told you we already have 1,200 plus cards that have been returned. Here's what's happened. We've had about 20 out of the 1,200, 25 were please participates. We have 90 out of the 1,200 who decreased. Okay. We have 600 who have increased. Of those 600 who have increased, 200 picked the 25% increase. All but a handful picked the 50% increase. A few, like I said, a handful picked the 75% increase. One card that came in today's mail is normally a $25,000 pledge. She picked an extra $10,000. She wouldn't have picked that if we had used this card from last year. So it does help to segment. And if you're a spring campaign, you have time to still do that. We do the prayer intentions on the back. One note is these got very violent for us this past year. It's really hurtful as we read them. We met with our attorney and also our inside people because we had people who were involved in domestic abuse situations that were using the card to tell us because they needed help. And so there's actual language that says, I might be in danger versus I am in danger. And so now I read every single card, all 7,000, and look for those specific words from the attorney. Then we call the pastor and we arrange for a wellness visit at home. And then we find out what's going on. So, but there were, out of 7,000, there were 21 that had to be referred to a pastor last year. So it is important that you just don't throw them in a box and not read them. Okay. I want Matt to run the video really quickly, but I want you to know all I want for Christmas is you. This is one pastor's in pew talk. He's like, anybody in here know who Mariah Carey is? Yeah, everybody's raising their hand. He said, all I want for Christmas is you. And this is why, he said, I'm 67 years old. I'm not getting married. He said, I don't want Mariah Carey. He said, I like her music. He said, but I'm not getting married. He said, I'm also not getting a house. So I don't need you to give me any more of the stuff that you've been lovely to give me all these years. He said, but what I really would like is to for once meet my DAA goal. So he said, I did a wedding 2 weeks ago and they gave me $100. So I've taken 100 envelopes and I have put a dollar in each one. And I'm giving them out to the first 100 people that come to me at the back door who haven't participated yet. And I'm asking you to pray on this. If you feel led in the next week to join me as a supporter of the DAA and put something in the envelope, great. If not, turn it in with the dollar. Out of the 100, 3 had a dollar in it when we gave it. All the rest had 150 plus. So that's a way to push a parish over the edge if they're struggling. Okay, we want to show you our video, then we'll ask questions. We're not going anywhere, so if you have questions, you can come up. We also have a QR code. This is important, though, for you to scan the QR code, and here's why. We didn't want you to not leave with something really good. So when you go to that QR code, you're going to get the slides, but you're also going to get every piece, every bishop's letter, every Christmas card that we've produced in the last 2 years. And you can use it, adapt it for your own, not have to recreate the wheel. So,
yeah, I'll bring it up in a second there.
Okay. We took the bishop outside this year.
Can I play the short one or the long one? Yep, short. Okay. It's only 2 verses, 4 minutes. So. Maybe. There we go.
Our annual appeal is a vital part of our ministry, a vital part of our parish life, a vital part of what keeps the diocese going. We're delighted to have our parishioners contribute to the work of the diocese, whether it's here in the Bluegrass area or throughout the 50 counties of our diocese.
The diocesan annual appeal helps to fund our seminarians' education. It helps me in my work of vocations promotion within our diocese. It helps to form the future priests of our diocese, the future pastors of our diocese. I'm the sacramental minister at the University of Kentucky Newman Center, and I have the privilege to minister to young college students. But I would share stories of priesthood with them, and we'd invite speakers in to share stories of priesthood to inspire these young men to consider a vocation to priesthood in our diocese.
As your bishop, I encourage you to do what you can to support our annual appeal. We call our annual appeal One in Christ, and it really is important that we come together as one. The beauty is when all of us, whether we have a lot to contribute or have a small amount to contribute monetarily and a lot in terms of spirituality and prayer, we're all part of this together.
Wherever you're from in our diocese, whatever means you have to support the Diocese Annual Appeal, please know that we are very grateful for any amount you can give, and every amount counts to making our diocese one in Christ.
So in that way, we can say thank you for all those ways that each of the Catholics of our diocese support the Diocesan Annual Appeal each year.
Les agradezco mucho su apoyo a la colecta anual para la diócesis de Lexington. Muchísimas gracias.
And together, there's a lot that we can do as one in Christ.
Or a thermometer or one other item, if you would make your way to the front of the room, please. Stewardship is rooted in hospitality and gratitude. So we have door prizes that were pre-selected.
So this, well, I don't have to take anyone's temperature.
A band, no, I'm taking that stuff. But that's a bamboo cutting board that says grateful on it.
Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
Thank you for being here.
Are there questions for Robert before we break? We've got about 5 minutes. Hey, Renee, let me give you the mic so that way it, since we're recording, that way the recording picks up the question.
I'm just curious how you set participation goals by parish.
That's a great question. We told everyone that we wanted, the bishop decided we wanted to be at 50%. Of the parish, and he asked them all to get to 50%. That was the first year. 40 of them got to 50%. So they were told this year that they needed to not lose ground. We weren't going to give them a new goal, but to stay at 50% or higher and to use the Texas incentive to try to go higher. Those that didn't get to 50% were told that it was mandatory that they get to 50% this year.
Other questions?
Robert, I'm curious. I noticed here that you've got text to give. How are you getting a lot of gifts through text?
I'm not. I offer it to keep some of the suggestions down because there are some people that just feel it's a way to reach young people. But we got two last year, and I was one of them. And so we put it on there, but honestly, it's QR code for us. And we did start this year with St. Ignatius and also St. Francis programs that say be good stewards of the earth and donate online, and it costs this much if you don't. And of those 1,200 or so, I did notice that 300 of them had donated online and avoided all the paper and stuff. So promoting that seemed to help, but no, the text to give doesn't help. It's free, so we do it, but.
Robert, for the segmentation on the cards that say please participate in the amounts, mm-hmm. What were the amounts that you used?
If they had never given?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If they had never given, the ones on the card were the amounts. I started at 100 and went up from there. 100, I think 250 and 350. Most of our gifts, we get some 200 or some 25s and some 50s, but most of our gifts do come in at no less than 100, so I just started at 100. We have the other blank, so I figure if they need less, they'll write it in.
You had mentioned that you don't do pledges. Do you encourage recurring giving?
Oh.
Do you encourage recurring giving?
Absolutely. We talk about recurring giving. We say that you can make a commitment online and that it could be multi-month, but we're not going to take a pledge. Now, the way they sneak in is that some people just automatically think they can do whatever they want, and so they write on the card, you know, $100 for 6 months, and they just put it in during NPU. I don't have anything to do on that except set it up that way. And so I may end up having to mail 50 a year, but not many sneak through anymore because we ask the pastors to really push the online giving. And we talk about that it's safer than sending stuff in the mail and that it's more direct. It's better for their planning. And so we get the recurring out of the 7,000 that we currently have. Right at about 600 are recurring monthly gifts. Yeah.
And that's about all the time we have, and I apologize, but Robert will be up here. So ask your questions. Robert did a great job.
Thank you.
As one of his partners, and I know Matt would attest to this too, it is truly a pleasure to walk into the diocese with Robert and Sarah and the energy with Bishop and the energy you feel. So if you can't take anything away, take the energy away. Because that excitement is contagious. So, hey, thanks. Have a great afternoon. God bless everybody. Robert, Sarah, awesome job.